Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Ooh, everybody, this is the Macko and Cause.
It's the Macko and Cause podcast. I can't do that very long. Happy Halloween. It's a Halloween edition, episode 97. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackowitz. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Maddie. Were you doing your impersonation of Paul Bearer there?
Yeah.
Yes. You do a good Paul Bearer, but you're right. It's hard to sustain.
Yeah. It would be good for him for doing it for so long. Like just having to do that voice. That would be tiring.
It's not like doing a British accent where you just go governor every once in a while. I mean, Paul Bearer, you really got to work for it.
Yeah, 100%. There's all, the effort is really high on that.
So today is Halloween, buddy.
Yes, it is.
Halloween, the day that Instagram is filled with pictures of kids and parents beaming.
Yeah.
So proud.
It's one of two things. It's either like just really cute pictures of kids and their parents, or it's 18-year-olds dressed up like they've got issues with their own dad. It seems that is the range. It's either wonderful parent moments or daddy issues. It's one or the other.
Yeah. Well, we're at the wonderful moment.
Yes, you are. Just saw a picture of Charlotte.
Right there, yeah, she's dressed up as Dash from The Incredibles.
She looked great.
Dash is her perfect man.
Mm-hmm.
He's fast.
Yep.
He's mischievous, but he fights on the right side.
Yeah.
You know, I can live with that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
And ironically, Jeff Merrick's kid looks exactly like Dash.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only a matter of time before they fall in love.
Before they become they become like a power couple?
like a grade four power couple?
Power couple.
I guess it's always possible.
I'd say one of George's kids would be the one doing the ceremony, but
haven't met them yet. If they exist, who knows where they are? We have so much to get to.
We got Halloween. We've got Raptors.
Leafs, obviously.
Leafs, Austin Matthews. Bruce Arthur wrote something about Bobby Orr today, which I found fascinating.
Really what? Because I was actually at Indigo yesterday buying Babysitter Club graphic novels for my daughter.
Of course.
And I noticed there were big crowds.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I wonder what's going on here. First, I thought was, this better not be the lineup, like a checkout.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because it could be like pre-Christmas already. And then I thought, no, this looks like a book signing. And Bobby Orr was there.
There you go.
And you know what really amazed me? And I want to hear what Bruce had to say, but I wanted to address this with you. We are so blasé about hockey history in this country.
Yeah.
Bobby Orr, arguably the greatest hockey player to ever live, playing a sport which presumably you and I love. We certainly watch a lot of it.
Yes, we do.
You know, up there with Gretzky and Lemieux, just the greatest of all time. And I thought, oh, that's Bobby Orr. And then I went and I got my graphic novels.
You know why that is? Because he's around all the time.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Is it just absence would make the heart grow fonder?
Yeah, he's very accessible. There's nothing mysterious about him. You could wander up to him and probably find him easily and ask for an autograph. He'd give it to you. He does a lot of the scouting stuff, you know, Team Orr versus Team Don Cherry, you know, when they're doing the prospects game. He's always kind of around. I think that's part of it.
It's not like Jordan's hidden. I mean, you can buy his shoes any day of the week.
Yeah.
But if Jordan was there signing, I would be bananas. I would phone everyone I knew and say, get down here. Jordan is at Indigo.
Jordan's a celebrity. Bobby Orr was a hockey player.
Maybe that's what it really comes down to. I'd be more excited if it was Gretzky.
Yeah.
But I also think it's weird, right? Like, I don't know. Does every generation have this? Because my line stops at the 75, 76 Leafs. Anything that happened before that, with the exception of the 72 Canada Cup, you know, I acknowledge it has a place in history, but I don't have any emotional connection to it. I'm way more connected to baseball history. Like, why do I care more about, like, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig?
Because that's what baseball does. Baseball trades on the mythology more, on the history more. It's like, you know, same thing with the NFL. You know, no one can tell you what Jerry Rice's records are, Emmitt Smith's records, or things like that. You know, Drew Brees broke Peyton Manning's passing numbers. And you're like, all right, there we go, moving on.
Not to keep bringing up my daughter, but your point about baseball is a really good one. She doesn't really follow baseball that much, but she's reading books about Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
More as a cultural study. And on Jackie Robinson Day, she took one of her white t-shirts and put a 42 on it and wrote Dodgers across the thing. And she walked around all day in her makeshift Jackie Robinson
jersey. Nice.
You know, that's nice, right? But there was Bobby Orr and we didn't care.
Yep. No, it's true.
It's just hockey doesn't have a sense of history.
Hockey doesn't have it. Not in the same way. Absolutely. Not to the masses. The hardcores, yes, but not to the masses.
My apologies. What did Bruce Arthur write?
Oh, no. There was two things. One, there's a great picture of Bobby Orr and Terry Fox. And both of them have rolled up their pant leg, both of them showing, I mean, obviously with Terry Fox, no leg there in the prosthetic, and Bobby Orr with just his twisted up knee and, you know, his injury. And they were laughing, and just, it's one of those times I would love to go back and just hang out and just hear what they had to say. Like, just this great picture, what a great moment in time. And then the other one talking about Bobby Orr said if he played today, he don't think he would actually have made it in hockey because I wouldn't be playing. My family didn't have enough. We didn't have the money to do those things. My parents weren't going to sell a child so I could play hockey. And I thought it was a good point. It's just, you know, how much harder it is to get into hockey at a high level because of all the tournaments and just the amount of money required. So I thought it was kind of interesting.
Although he is an agent, so that is a bit rich.
Mm-hmm. But at the time, like, his family was super poor. And if he was a kid today with his family being financially where they were, you know, in the 1960s, he's like, yeah, I don't think I'd be playing hockey.
Yeah, this whole pond hockey, banging frozen cow patties off the barn door mythology, I'm sure it exists somewhere.
Yeah.
But it's mostly BS.
Yeah.
And this has benefited the GTHL tremendously. Like, there are a lot of great players who come through Toronto. A lot. If you look at the NHL from Tavares to PK right on down the line, there are an awful lot of players that start right here or mm-hmm. in the neighboring region.
Yeah.
And it's money. It's just money. Like, people here spend a lot of money. I don't know what it's like in other provinces. I'm assuming when you go to Quebec or if you're in Calgary.
I bet same thing.
Vancouver, you know, I'm sure it's the same thing. But in fact, I would argue, you know how people hate Toronto
mm-hmm.
and they say this, everyone here is about the money and it's just your job and this and that. I don't see that nearly as much in the outside world as I do at the rink. I feel like that's probably more true of hockey than it is everything outside of Bay Street.
Yeah.
It's about dough and it's about elitism.
And the tough part is now if you're a kid, even if you need to not only be unnaturally gifted, you need to be the outlier and have the work ethic and all these other things and the skill.
Which has probably always been true.
Which has always been true. And, you know, but now it's the entry is now harder if you come from, you know, a lower class family.
I think that the mythology around the sport has taken a real hit
mm-hmm.
because of the cash involved to get in the sport. And that point is a really good one. It's one of the reasons I'm glad Charlotte didn't really care for hockey
mm.
because I didn't want to have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars chasing a pastime
yeah.
when I could spend $25 and send her down to the local dojo and have her, you know, learn some Taekwondo
yep.
and be just as fit
yep.
and just as confident.
And the same thing, meeting new people, and it's all about discipline. Absolutely. But I'll tell you this, pray she doesn't get into dance. I was, I'm serious. I was interviewing.
Trust me. Have you seen me dance?
Yes.
Have you seen Sandra dance?
Oh, actually, no, I haven't.
She's worse than I am.
Oh, no. Okay. So you're safe.
She's known amongst her friends as the friend who can't dance.
Okay. She's the Elaine Bennis.
She's so Elaine Bennis.
Okay. She's the Elaine Bennis of it. Because I was talking to Gino Retta and I was laughing with him about, you know, just how much it costs to have a kid. And we were talking about hockey naturally. And he's like, don't sleep on dance. And when you hear about, oh, yeah, the kid, the summer went to a summer camp for dance. It was $4,000. Oh,
what?
My God. Oh, yeah.
$4,000.
$4,000.
50,000 Cronkites.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Just, I'm not going to tell you you should go Kathy Bates misery style on your daughter and hobble her. I'm just saying, you know, keep him out of dance as well.
Yeah. The good news is she likes to read.
Okay.
You can do it at home and a library card is free.
Yeah, that's true. So. Unless Doug Ford has his way. I have no idea. But
I don't know about that. But wait and see.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got Raps Halloween to get to, Leafs to get to, Halloween, and an amazing. I'm so excited about this top five. Maybe my favorite top five we've done in months.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about the villains on Halloween.
I love what you're doing here.
You and I decided that we would do top five Halloween heroes.
Yeah.
It's a much shorter list.
I'm ceding the floor. I just want to hear your list, and I'll comment on it. It was your idea. I think it's great. You wanted to go back and forth like. Do some sports here and then get to some, because I have some Halloween thoughts.
Okay, we're going to jump around quite a bit. Well, let's start off with Halloween, because I got a dot, dot, dot to get to later, and I just want to make sure we get everything in. But here's what I was thinking about Halloween.
Yeah.
The genius of Halloween is miniature food. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about miniature food that makes it so much more fun.
Yeah.
But damn, it does. Think about it.
It's called fun size.
Not just the chocolate. I know. Chocolate bars, chips, small size. So much fun. The little Doritos, loving it. But this goes even further. Carrots, corn, sliders. The second you make food small, finger sandwiches. Everything about small food says, we're going to have a good time.
Man, Bob, the cupcake craze came along for a reason.
Great point.
Yeah, because...
Great point.
All it is still just cake.
It's small cake.
It comes in small form. There's a novelty factor. That's part of it. It also looks kind of neat and different. But also there's the, we're bad at our caloric math. Oh, just one of these, one of these, one of these. I'm not having a full meal. It's like, oh, a hamburger... All the calories. Let me have a couple sliders.
I didn't have a bag of chips. You had three little bags of chips. Yeah, but I didn't have a bag of chips.
Exactly. Because there's something, it feels so childish eating a full-size Snickers bar around your home. But if you have a couple of the mini ones, it's just bite and go, and you move on with your day. So that's why we love that so much.
What's the best miniature food?
The best... Miniature food.
Oh. I'm going to go sliders.
Yes,
sliders are great. I love sliders. A little hamburger, a bite-sized hamburger. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
It is the perfect invention. Mm-hmm. You eat it in one bite.
Yep.
There's no mess.
Yep.
You pop the whole thing in your mouth.
Yeah.
People who take bites of sliders, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I know. Two-bite brownie?
Brownie's good.
Yeah,
two-bite brownie.
Two-bite brownie.
That's good. Those are really good, actually. Yeah, the little moist ones you get in the brown bag.
They got to be moist. The moment they're dry, just throw them out.
So true. You know what they call them when they're dry? Mm. They call them billiard balls.
Oh, yeah, that would work.
All right. So miniature food. All right. You have thoughts on Halloween. Mine is that miniature food makes it fun.
All right. First thought, I was thinking about this right before you arrived. You know what would suck?
What?
If you were Dr. Sam Loomis's other patient. Like
his waiting room must be full. He's out a lot.
He is out a lot. But like you're sitting there and you're trying to talk about your relationship with your father. And in the middle of it, he's like, Michael. He's like, listen, Mr. Loomis, I understand that. Listen, it's July 10th. Okay. I won't book an appointment in the month of October, and I'm sure you're busy early November, but it's July. Can I get your attention for 5 minutes, Michael?
What are the magazines in his waiting room? Is it like Fangoria?
It would be Fangora. It would be Guns and Ammo. you know, probably
North American Machete?
Yeah. Exactly. Machete Enthusiast. Of course, Machete was more Jason Voorhees. We have to stick with like butcher knives and things like that. So Better Home and Garden would probably be it.
Better Home and Garden.
Yeah, because, you know, listen, I'm a stickler for the proper weapon of choice in these sorts of movies. Like the worst was one of the Friday the 13th movies. A girl attacks Jason with a chainsaw. I'm like, can we keep it? Stick to the plan. Anyway, now we're way off topic. But yeah, Sam Loomis's other patient.
Yeah, we're off topic. We're off topic.
Sam Loomis's
other patient. We haven't even started
topic
yet. Any other Halloween thoughts? Or are we going to do Leafs or Raptors?
Just real quick, to all the kids listening to this, I know do well the 7 to 10-year-old demographic. Pillowcase. The shopping bag, too small, and the handle will break, and your fun-sized Snickers go all over the pavement. The garbage bag, you look greedy. So the porridge is just right with the pillowcase.
What is the oldest you can be and still trick-or-treat door-to-door?
Well, see, that's...
I know you used to go in high school, which is pathetic.
Grade 9, and it was before I had a girlfriend.
No kidding.
My friend Scott Clements and I decided to do it. And the funniest part was the first house we went to. And my friend Scott was tall. The parent looked at us and they were just shook their head. And they were like, what are you doing? And we sheepishly took our candy. But man, as the night went on and got darker, we got into our normal rhythm and just sped from house to house. I regret nothing.
The answer is 12.
Yeah.
If you're trick-or-treating and your voice has changed...
Mm.
That's too much.
Yeah, I know.
Trick or treat, sir.
Hey. Yeah. Then the next year I got my first girlfriend. And then, you know, Halloween was done.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Then you were on to Madden football.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it was shameful. My last year was shameful doing it.
So let's talk Leafs, shall we? Just because, sure. The game against Calgary was a stiff. That you thought that St. Louis game was bad stinker. Earlier in the year?
Yeah.
How much of the Calgary game did you actually watch?
Oh, very little.
Yeah.
I was, because I'm now semi-employed. I'm like, nope, I don't need to watch this game. I'm going to watch.
See, if you're going to do morning radio the next day, you got to watch every minute because you never know.
You never know. Oh, yeah. This game, very different.
No, this gives you the freedom to watch the way civilians watch, right? You're not in the TSN army at this point.
Yeah. My girlfriend Amy was actually like, why are you're not on air tomorrow? Why are you watching this game? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. And I'm still so programmed. The Leaf game is on. Watch it. No, that game is a stinker.
So do you believe in the Ewing theory, the famous theory espoused by Bill Simmons, that sometimes when a team's best player goes down, the team actually can get better because they find a way to pull together and maybe play harder, play. Yep. You stick to what's simple and you play real hard because you don't have the talent to do otherwise?
I do believe in it. There's so many examples of it. And that came from the 1999 New York Knicks, who lost Patrick Ewing and then got to the NBA Finals with Larry Johnson and Marcus Camby. Oh, my God, I love that 99 Knicks team. It's one of my secret favorite teams of all time.
It was only a couple of years later the Leafs did it without Sundin. Look at me, Rasmus Sandin. I've already subbed him out. He's in the Hall of Fame. Without Sundin. I'm with you totally. I think there's chaos, there is opportunity.
Yes, there's only one problem.
What's that?
When people bring up how the Leafs, and they performed well last year when Matthews was out with 20 games.
They did.
Nylander was in that lineup. So you have to consider this. You're missing your first and now, you know, your third or fourth best player in Nylander. And that's where the problem lies. Not having both of those guys. And Marner and Tavares, that's fantastic. And, you know, Kadri's scoring a little bit more and all this. But without Nylander, we're going to feel no Matthews a little bit harder.
Now, we believe that Nylander will be back before Matthews is, because we believe Nylander will sign.
I don't know what I believe anymore, Bob.
There's a month away.
I don't know what I believe anymore.
You really don't think Nylander will be back? No, he'll sign a bridge deal. He'll come back. It'll be 2 years. It'll be whatever figure they come up with.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be back.
Yeah. All right. I think.
Because it's lunacy to go any other way.
I'm so tired of every day. And this isn't blaming player or management. I'm just tired of it.
Although we really shouldn't be so shocked, because one of the best young players in the biggest market in the country is not signed.
Yeah, I know.
And they're at an impasse. And not only are they at a particular impasse, but it's because it involves so many other players too. Because when we talk about Nylander, we're also really talking about Matthews and Marner.
I know.
Arguably Gardner. So, you know, there's a lot of things at play here. I actually think we don't talk about it. I'm not going to say we don't talk about it enough. I think we talk about it the right amount, which is all the time, because it's the most important thing facing this team.
It is the most. No, I know that. The good news is that the injury to Matthews is not some. It's not a reoccurring injury. That, to me, is the most important thing. A doctor quote from Myrtle's piece in The Athletic: this isn't a genetic thing. It doesn't look like that kind of injury. He just looks like he's in some pain. So that's certainly a good thing.
There's been this kind of feeling circulating amongst part of the fan base that maybe he's injury prone.
Yeah.
I don't think he's Ryan Nugent Hopkins, where he's like small and maybe entered the league a little too early.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's Joffrey Lupul, where he just seems to get banged up, whether it's freak accident or not.
Yep.
He's a big guy and he attracts a lot of attention. That hit from Trouba, like, it's not like Matthews was dogging it. He was in there trying to score.
Yeah.
His arm was extended. It was a bad luck hit.
Yeah.
He's out for a month. Like, there's no magic here. This is hockey. It's a contact sport. Or as the great Sherry Bassin, owner of the Erie Otters, used to say, it's not a contact sport, it's a collision sport.
Dancing's a contact sport. Oh, Sherry Bassin. I mean, he had the voice of old school.
You got to get him on your wine podcast. Sherry Bassin would be an amazing guest on your wine podcast. And just talk about wine and hockey? Brilliant. That one I'd listen to.
How dare you? Rather, the most recent one involving Sean McKenzie. I crossed the line to the other side.
I'm so ashamed of myself that I haven't listened to your wine podcast.
Oh, it's okay. You're busy. You were with child.
No, I'm not that busy. I could listen. Okay. But I just don't care.
Okay. The Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. I get why people say the injury prone thing, because they're nervous. And when you're nervous and scared, you know, you tend to say things that make you nervous and scared, and you get insecure about it, and you get irrational, and you're like, well, he missed 20 games last year, and his shoulders again. Oh no, is he injury prone? It is one of the biggest fears in all of sports. Like, the number one fear, ooh, this could be a ranking because Halloween. The number one fear you can have is if you have a bad owner. Because if you have a bad owner, you're bleeped. As a New York Knicks fan, James Dolan is haunting this franchise like the Madison Square Gardens was built on top of an Indian graveyard. The next one is, oh no, is my young star injury prone? That's, I think, the number two one.
Of all the things that if you're a fan base, you should be afraid of?
Yes.
Ownership first, injury prone franchise superstar second.
Yes.
I think that's smart, actually. You can see that with the Washington Redskins, who managed to have both.
Yeah.
Bad meddling owner in Dan Snyder.
Yep.
And then Robert Griffin III, who tears up his knee during the playoffs on Ford Field, one fateful rainy day, and never is the same again.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
That one hurt, eh?
That one did, because he was so much fun that rookie year. But I do believe, even if he not got hurt, the league would have caught up with him, because the league always catches up with scrambling quarterback.
They catch up with almost everybody, scrambling or not. Poor Derek Carr. How long does it take to not become the next one?
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
It doesn't take long to not be next.
Yeah, no time at all. Or you could be a Bills fan where the only thing of interest is chucking dildos on the field.
I didn't even watch.
Derek Anderson.
I didn't even watch on
Nathan
Monday.
Peterman,
I didn't even watch it down. You know, there was the Leafs on.
Oh my God.
Just terrible.
Actually, Monday was a tough one because the Leafs were getting killed by Calgary and the Buffalo. Ugh.
Yeah, and then Toronto was losing to Milwaukee.
That was an AMC night. That was a horror movie night.
Yeah, exactly. Are you kidding? Like the 31 Nights of Halloween?
Yeah, it's been great.
Oh, so good. So I have watched Halloween 5 so many times.
I just turned off Halloween 5.
Young Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd in Halloween 5. And the weird thing with the druids and the secret society, I mean, man, they jumped the shark. If you want to know what jump the shark looks like in a movie franchise, Halloween 5.
They seeded the seeds of destruction were sown in Halloween 2 when they made Michael Myers her brother.
Yeah.
Right? Because now all of a sudden I think they got smart and they're like, ooh.
Yeah, let's add this to it.
This extra spice. But Michael Myers was always so much more interesting just as a force of random malevolence.
Yeah. We didn't need more.
How much backstory does the guy need? They ruined Jason that way right off the top.
Yeah. Well, we can debate that another day. Yeah, I'm convinced Donald Pleasance died early because he saw the dailies from Halloween 5. He's like, all right, that's it. I've done this whole Earth thing. It's time to move on.
Oh, man. I just look at those movies and think, just cha-ching. Just cash those checks. How many offers was Donald Pleasance getting that did not involve the Halloween franchise?
And he'd be the highest paid person on that set. It wouldn't even be close.
By a country mile.
Wouldn't even be close.
Apparently, according to the very good podcast on the Ringer Network, the Halloween-based one, John Carpenter did not want to be involved in Halloween 2. He wanted to move on.
Yeah.
But the money was there. And apparently he wrote the script in a weekend with a case of beer.
No. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. That's as the story goes.
And also, since most of it just took place in one hospital, it would cut down on the budget costs.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
And the producers told him it's got to be more violent because by that time, unfortunately, people had looked at the original Halloween and started going, you know, instead of turning it into a more psychological-based thriller, they're just like, let's just get teenagers and hack them up.
Yeah. Well, think of like wrestling with like the Hardy Boys, and just it's like, okay, we're going to jump off a ladder. I want you to do a double flip off the ladder.
Right.
Do a double flip off the ladder, and you're going to be on top of a cage. And oh my God, Mankind, what's he doing?
Okay, Edge and Christian are actually in a Zeppelin flying over the arena right now.
Yeah. Why is he blindfolded? He's in a Zeppelin. We get it. Yeah, so you always up the ante in horror movies. And you're right. They certainly went there. They went there with that one.
Okay, so Kadri's going to get the tough matchups.
Yep.
It's a good time. I mean, if there was ever a time that John Tavares is worth $11 million, it would be right about now.
Yes.
Now and in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Because they still have depth. Mm-hmm. You know, like I know people say, oh, they don't have that much depth left and the scoring isn't there. Well, that's true. You know, their two best players are out. But you know, good teams figure it out.
Yeah, and they're not like, the thing is, Nylander could be their fourth best player, with Marner led them in scoring the regular season and the postseason. And
yeah, their fourth best forward, because who knows where Morgan Riley fits in that list now. Mm. He's playing terrific. Yeah. By the way, did you see on Twitter, I gave you credit in my Leafs in six words.
Ooh.
Matt was right. Riley is better.
Thank you very much. He's not even 25.
I thought that he had pretty much peaked. And not that he had peaked bad, but just, you know, players eventually stop getting better, except for DeMar DeRozan and Morgan Riley.
Yeah.
Better every year.
Good for DeMar with San Antonio.
He's playing so well.
Final thought on Matthews. The only positive, and this is a ghoulish positive, is that...
he's not going to win the Hart Trophy?
Performance bonuses, right. Money like that, cap situation.
Right. Yep.
But you know what? I'd rather him play 82 games, score 400 goals, right, and let the Leafs fret about performance bonuses.
This year.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen during this stretch is you're going to see, without additional protection, Marlowe is not a step-up guy anymore.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to find more and more ways to hide his performance, as opposed to rely on his performance.
Yep.
And for $6 million a year, that makes you a rely guy, not a fill-out-the-roster guy.
Yeah. Bob, don't... next year is the year we bitch and complain about Marlowe's contract.
I know.
Remember, here's how it worked. First year, I told you to chillax. Marlowe played really well. I felt good about myself. This year, I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Next year, I'll be totally wrong.
You know what I did? Hmm. I did the early Christmas ads version of Marlowe panic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you, like, I've already, you've seen them already, haven't you? There's a couple of Christmas ads kicking around.
Go into any dollar store. Every bleeping dollar store, it's surrounded by tinsel. Tinsel everywhere.
When does the Christmas stuff go up for you guys? December 1st is our traditional day.
December 1st, I will not do anything until December 1st. I understand stores are going to do it early and fine, but I'll just say this. Can you wait till after Remembrance Day? I don't even know if there's, like, can you wait? Like, well, I think now there are, I don't even know if there's any World War I veterans still walking this earth, but there's plenty of World War II. Can we wait till November 12th? You'll still get, you know, you'll still get 40 plus days of Christmas. So that's my, that's always my rule on that.
Can I make one quick note about Kadri?
Yes.
I think that his shooting percentage is bound to go up.
Of course.
And I think that it could just be total coincidence if over the next 4 to 6 weeks, he looks a lot better.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's necessarily going to even look better. I think the pucks are just going to go in because they were going to go in anyway.
And he's going to get more minutes.
And he's going to get a few more minutes, and he'll be a little more featured on the power play.
Yeah.
Without Matthews there to absorb the air.
Yeah.
So I bet you he's going to have a pretty big November, and everyone's going to go, see, all he needed was the puck.
Yeah.
But I think all he really needed was just time to not.
Time and opportunity.
Not miss.
It's like anything else in life. You give time and opportunity, much better chance of accomplishing.
He's going to be drawing the hard matchups. He really is such an important part of this team. We always talk about how important, you know, Marner's, Matthews, you know the list.
Yeah,
it's always the list. And then Kadri is like the and sometimes why of the vowels. Like
he's the professor.
And the rest.
Yeah, exactly. That's who he is.
Yeah, he's the professor.
Yeah.
In fact, that's not a bad name for him. Mm-hmm. He's the professor. He never gets a storyline.
No, he never
does. Did the professor ever get a storyline in Gilligan's Island?
I bet, I haven't seen it in a while, but I bet like in the Jump the Shark episodes, they probably like created a robot, like a robot maid, you know, to clean up the coconuts or something.
Do you remember that they had kind of a suggestion that Ginger and the professor had something on the go?
Yeah. I bet the real life actor, he's like, let's punch up that script a little bit. Let's get that B storyline. Let's flesh that out a little bit more. So there we are. Yeah, exactly. It's raining.
Tina Louise. What an actress.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we done with Leafs talk?
Yep, done with Leafs.
All right. Do we want to move on to something non-sports or do you want to do Raptors here?
Non-sports, then Raptors.
Okay. Do you want to do my dot, 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 or do you want to do the top fives?
Oh, let's do the top five.
All right. So top five, in honor of Halloween, top five, heroes from horror cinema.
Love it.
And you could really call this the Laurie Strode Honorary Award. Because at least like with the new Halloween, which is killing it at the box office, pardon the pun, she's a great villain or a great hero.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you look at, like, she's the prototype of the final girl, right?
Yeah.
Virtuous and in filled with integrity and what's the word I'm looking for? She gets stuff done. She figures stuff out. I can't remember the word. Starts with a P. Anyway.
Persistent?
Nah, that wasn't it. It wasn't prolific or prodigious. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows. Moving on. All right. So I've got five here, but I want to say the ones that I didn't say first because they were a little contentious. Chief Brody, Ellen Ripley, Clarice Starling.
Those ones didn't make your list?
They didn't make the list because you can argue those movies aren't true horror movies. They're great heroes, all of them.
Jaws is a horror movie, Bob.
You can make that argument, but I didn't want to make it here today because there are a lot of people who
say it
isn't. We're
30 minutes in, so we can't do the Jaws is a horror movie conversation.
Right. And you can make the case that Alien is a horror movie.
Yep.
It's a haunted house in space, a monster movie in space.
But I see that one. That one,
you know, Silence of the Lambs, some people would say it's more thriller than horror movie.
Okay, okay.
You know, and also Chris Washington, the lead character's name in Get Out.
Okay, yeah.
And I liked him, and he almost made the list, but I thought we don't really talk about the character.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the movie. We talk about the world. We talk about some of the brilliant twists, like the, you know, the cup swirling around.
The teacup
and all that. You know, but we don't really talk about the main character the way you should.
Yeah.
If you're going to be top five. All right, here we go, pal. Number five, Ed and Lorraine Warren from the Conjuring movies.
Okay, yeah.
They are real life paranormal investigators.
Yeah.
And based on their cases and writings, did you know that there have been 17 films made?
Wow.
17 films made either based on one of their cases directly or spinoffs from them.
Yep.
From the Amityville Horror to Annabelle to The Conjuring to The Haunting in Connecticut, like Ed and Lorraine Warren. And what the hell does date night look like for them?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That must be one freaky ass couple. Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
Number four from the Evil Dead movies, Ash.
Yes.
Bruce Campbell.
It's got to be good, bad. I'm the one with the gun. I thought you said it was beautiful. That was just pillow talk, baby. And that, and by the way, the first couple ones, you know, because now I'm just doing Army of Darkness. Right. Ash, great character.
When it got fully campy.
Oh,
it gets
so
it gets
good.
A little less. It gets more campy each one. Like the first one is kind of campy, but also horrifying.
Yeah.
The second one is still sort of horrifying. But by the third one, I think Sam Raimi's just like, let's have fun.
And they did have fun. I love. Anyway, yes. Great. Yeah.
Number three, Van Helsing, Abraham Van Helsing, the vampire slayer.
Yep.
He was going to be number two, but I gave number two to Wendy Torrance from The Shining simply because of how hard Shelley Duvall had to work.
She had a really tough day.
Really tough day at work.
And really, more than that, like, imagine being married to Jack for all that time. Like, just before the stabbing started, like, he was a grumpy galoot.
When she goes to give him the sandwich, and he's writing, and he's like, look at me typing.
So when you hear me do this, oh, I mean, like, imagine being married.
Can you start now? Get the out.
Yeah. Like, imagine just being married to a writer who's having writer's block and you're in a secluded area. That's horrible when he's at his best of mood. So, yeah, absolutely, Wendy Torrance.
But she takes on the whole hotel and Crazy Jack Nicholas. Mm-hmm. I've been butchering my names today. Nicholson. Mm-hmm. Scatman Crothers couldn't get it done.
Could not.
Finally, though, my number one, Rosemary Woodhouse from Rosemary's Baby, Mia Farrow. Even though this was never a franchise and you feel like maybe it should go to a franchise hero, how many horror movies are named after the hero?
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's Rosemary's Baby. It's actually a character study.
Yeah.
The haircut from Vidal Sassoon was very chic at the time.
Yeah.
Her weird-ass marriage to Frank Sinatra made her a celebrity. Like, she was the it girl of the time. And she's a great character. When she spits in Guy's face, because Guy double-crossed her, sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It was 1968, so you've had time to catch up.
Yeah.
She is an early feminist character.
Mm-hmm.
She's just amazing. And the end, which I won't spoil, because if you haven't seen it, you really should.
Yeah.
Her acting in the final 10 minutes is as good as any movie acting you're ever going to see.
Oh, yeah.
She's so, so good.
Yeah. Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But also very human.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Superhuman.
100%. Good list.
So that's my list. Do you have any you want to add or not add?
I would add Tommy from Friday the 13th, Corey Feldman.
I had a feeling you might.
He does his, first off, you should like it. He does his research, goes to the library, reads all about Jason, shaves his head, distracts Jason, allows his sister to start chopping up Jason. Then he, you know what I love about Tommy in Friday the 13th part 4? He does what all of us want to do when we watch a horror movie. When you stab the villain once, and then you put the knife down, like, ooh, we're done. And you're like, keep stabbing. What does he do at the end of Friday the 13th, part four? He keeps chopping and chopping. Ah!
Did it work?
Well, no.
But it did what you were supposed to do.
It did exactly what I would want it to do. So I'd throw him there. And
most Hollywood horror movies end like a busted play where the individual has to go one-on-one as the clock runs down and you're just trying to chuck up a shot.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a
Hail
Mary.
Yeah.
That movie ended like a perfectly diagrammed play where you kick out to the corner for three and you've been moving the ball around, reversing the ball, but the three just doesn't go in.
Yeah.
So he played the right way.
Yeah.
It just didn't work for him.
It just didn't go in. Also, another one, that's a good analogy.
Horror analytics.
Yeah, horror analytics. The other one, careful saying that.
I know it's a hard word to say, horror analytics.
Yeah. The other one, go with the priests, and I forget their name, in The Exorcist.
You know what? I thought about them, but because you can't remember their names, it probably doesn't count. And really, the hero of that movie is the girl.
Yeah.
The hero is the victim.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And Ellen Burstyn is at least as heroic as the priests are.
No, I'd say the priest who decides to throw himself out the window to his death to make sure that he kills the devil. I'm going to go with him slightly higher up on the heroic level. But you're absolutely right. Ellen Burstyn, she was great in that as well.
You make a good point, Matt.
Yeah.
I am totally going to give
it. By the way, Bob, I've got a horror movie scenario for you
okay,
right now.
Okay, I'll go get myself some water.
How did you know?
Oh, how did I know?
Imagine you suddenly need legal help. And then you go to the big haunted law firms, and they're not going to help you. They're just going to try to murder you with their prices. Well, there's one place. Yeah. There's one place you can go, and that is our lawyer, Jeff Pollock. This guy, if he saw Jason Voorhees, he'd chop him up into little pieces and then sue him for psychological damages. Jeff Pollock is our lawyer. He should be your lawyer as well. He dealt with my last will and testament. I don't know. Actually, that one's kind of creeping me out now. Anyway, 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. You can get a hold of him at jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. Litigation, states, trust, corporate, commercial, real estate law, whatever you want. He's got you covered. His wife handles accounting and all that if you need help on the business side. It's one-stop shop. Jeff Pollock is our lawyer. He should be yours. Now that was a good read.
We'll do CGI a little later.
Sure.
All right.
Well, it's going to have to be very soon because, Bob, we're 37 minutes in.
All right. Well, I do want to get to my dot, dot, dot. So quickly,
let's
Raptors.
Do it. No, take your time. Then Raptors
are 7-1, Maddie.
Yeah.
They're 7-1. Mm-hmm. You know what really struck me? Kevin Love is hurt.
Yep.
And the Cavs are a mess.
Oh, yeah. Already fired Tyronn Lue.
Right. They're 0-6. They're clearly going to blow it
up. Oh, they beat Atlanta last night.
Oh, did they?
But can I say this?
Okay.
If you're not following the Cavs-Hawks game, good. If you were following it, bad dad.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so they're 1-6 on the air. But regardless, they're a blow-up waiting to happen, which means Kevin Love is going to get traded. In years past, we always had fantasies about what three-point shooting power forward or big man could we finally bring to the Raptors to give us some scoring balance. And it dawned on me this year, I don't care. I wouldn't want Kevin Love. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a very good player. He's an all-star caliber player. Don't need him. I'm happy with the bigs we have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Usually,
that really hit me. It's I don't want the roster to change.
Usually you'd be craving after the all-star, the stats guy. And yeah, no. As of right now, you know, I wish CJ Miles shot a better three-point percentage. But yeah, there's very little I would change.
I went through the list of players who are either overperforming or performing to expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one not on that list is CJ Miles.
Yeah.
You could argue maybe OG Anunoby, but he's missed a bunch of time and he's playing great defense.
Mm-hmm. And dealing with personal issues.
So we'll just call that an incomplete at this point because he's had a strange start to the year. But everybody else is either performing about as well as you would hope or better.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Let's park Leonard and Lowry for a moment.
All right.
More pleasant surprise, more amazing surprise to you, Danny Green or Serge Ibaka?
Oh, Ibaka. I'm gonna go with Serge Ibaka only because we watched him play so closely, and to see him, you know, quicker and more efficient, and I love the rotation. Sometimes Ibaka's the starter. Sometimes Valanciunas is the starter. We're not going to have them on the floor together. They are there independently. Admittedly, that has issues with rebounding. We saw that in the second half against the 76ers. But
although the 76ers are a big team.
They are a very big team.
In terms of Eastern Conference teams, yeah, that's probably the one you're going to have the most problem with, mm-hmm, in terms of rebounding disparity. And also probably the Bucks if Giannis is on the, yeah, is on the floor.
But I'm going to go I'm going to go with Ibaka.
Yeah, I would say I thought Ibaka at first, but then I thought, you know, he does make $20 million a year, though. Mm-hmm. I know that this is about as good as he's looked as, but this is the guy they traded for.
Yeah.
So I feel like this isn't necessarily overperforming. He's just been underperforming up till now, you know, but he's supposed to be able to hit threes and he's supposed to be able to block and provide rim protection. So he's better than he has been for sure. But this is the guy they made the deal for to get.
Yep.
Danny Green was a throw-in.
Yeah.
Danny Green was a throw-in. And he's an integral part of that team. His perimeter defense is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm enjoying Nick Nurse, uh-huh, but I'm always aware in the back of my mind that Dwayne Casey was never allowed to scheme with two perimeter defenders like Leonard and Green.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Lowry, when you magnify Lowry's ability because, you know, opposing offenses can't just avoid him.
Yeah.
Like you've got three places. And then when Ibaka's on the floor too, and he's like, oh, they're just defensively. They're a blender.
Mm-hmm.
They're a thresher. Never mind a blender.
Also, Dwayne Casey never had the advantage of having the best player on the floor every night.
Yeah. Every night.
That's what you have right now with healthy Kawhi Leonard. It's funny. The one thing you get nervous about, I saw in the third quarter.
The poke in the eye?
No. He got fouled from behind by Joel Embiid. He went down. And for half a second, they're like, whoop, and then he got up again. But you just always, I imagine, now I know what it's like to be a father. Because when Kawhi Leonard went down, suddenly I'm like, oh, is he okay? I now know 100% exactly what it's like. But he never
If you wanted to go to a Raptors game, mm-hmm, where would you get your tickets?
Oh, let's see. Where would I get my tickets?
I just wanted some of my carrots. So I set you up for the Seat Giant throw.
I know where I wouldn't
knowing
go.
You couldn't take the bait.
I know where I wouldn't take go. The bait. Ticketmaster. Whew. Those guys are a bunch of jerks. No, we go to Seat Giant. They're our new Canadian partner. How new? They've been a Canadian partner on this show for a while. Concert tickets, sporting event tickets, everything and anything in North America. Just go to seatgiant.ca. All tickets are in Canadian dollars. That's right, in Canadian dollars. Stop paying U.S. bucks. Everything is converted. This is a Canadian-owned and operated company. They guarantee every ticket to be legitimate. And also, discount code. Use the word Bob and Matt at checkout to save money. You save a little money. We get a little kickback, which is great because hosting podcast, it's not free. So seatgiant.ca.
Oh, sorry. I'm still chewing.
You're still chewing. Okay. Then my final thought on Kawhi Leonard. Another point is, you know, these were the great games last night against Philly. Was like, ooh, Ben Simmons star, Joel Embiid star. And they both will be. They ain't Kawhi Leonard. Simmons, 11 turnovers last night. Kawhi Leonard, 31, 7, and 4 assists and 4 steals. It's just so much fun. The rebounding was an issue, but whatevs. The Raps are 7-1, and Kawhi Leonard is better at his job than any other athlete in Toronto. And I don't think anyone can argue that.
Yeah, I've got all kinds of thoughts that I don't want to say because they involve sad thoughts of the future. So okay. I'm just going to shut up
yeah,
about
shut
it.
Up, right now, Bob. I'm just going to
shut up. They're 7-1. The Iron, you know what? With Matthews out and this team streaking, and there's no real reason for them to stop. Mm-hmm. I think they're really just this good.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like the hearts and minds of Toronto fans are coming back to the Raptors?
I think that the casual basketball fan is becoming the, you know, certainly much is going back to the fanatical fan. Everyone is going up one level. There's always going to be the hockey guy that's like, I don't, and by the way, if you don't like basketball, that's cool. Ain't no one telling you to like it. But yeah, it's certainly, I think everyone is realizing, wait a minute, something special is going on here.
Well, and there's only so much sports brain you have.
Yeah.
I mean, some people manage to juggle them all. Mm-hmm. Brian Hayes might be the best I know at juggling them all. The host of Overdrive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He follows all the sports closely.
Yeah. Bad dad.
I mean, I don't know that.
Far be it for me to now accuse Brian of being a bad dad.
I think I just did.
I just did that. Alleged. Do I say alleged? Do I get away with it?
Jonas Siegel follows this all the he sports does. Pretty closely.
He does. But, you know, Jonas, though, also you got to remember with him is he's millennial type where he doesn't love one team. So he just gets to float around and he doesn't have to emotionally invest himself into one team. And also not married, no kids.
Yeah. And that, my friend, is the big one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So I've got some dots.
Let's do
here.
It.
I throw out some stuff, random thoughts, and Maddie decides what he wants to talk about.
Yep.
All righty. First, there is an NBA commercial out right now asking dunks or threes?
Yeah.
Man, times have changed. Mikko Rantanen is on fire, and Colorado has the Senators' first round pick this year. Is Joe Sakic finally smart again? Machado, Kershaw, Harper. 18 months ago, every team would have wanted any of them. Now, not so much. And finally, true or false, I woke up with two slices of pepperoni pizza in my vest pocket.
All right, we'll start there. I mean, you know, you set the bait. What happened, Bob?
All right, so I went to my grandmother. She's 95, and yeah. Every once in a while, I bring by a pizza for, you know, my cousin lives there, and she's got some women who help to take care of her. They all live there. So every once in a while, I bring by a pizza. We have a little pizza party. My daughter's with me. We had some errands to run afterwards. So she wanted to bring some pizza with her once we left.
I'm nice.
Like, yeah, sure. So, of course, because she's a kid, we get 10 steps out of the house.
Yeah.
Dad, can you hold this? Honey, it's two slices of pizza. Not really.
Yeah.
I can have them for lunch tomorrow. I'm like, okay. So I wrap them up carefully inside of the paper towel I had.
Yeah.
And I slide them inside my vest pocket because there was nowhere else to put them. And I forgot them there. Mm. So I walked around all night. And this morning I realized I'm walking around, dropping her off at school. And I put my hand in my pocket and there's two slices of pizza in there.
Just answer the question, Bob.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't. Because I'm on a cleanse.
You're on a cleanse.
But otherwise... Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I thought of you immediately, though, because I thought if there's one person who would actually expect this to happen.
Yeah, of course.
It's probably you.
Yeah, absolutely. Vest pocket pizza, VPP. I would evade it.
Yeah, you know me.
You know me. I'm talking to
you. You know VPP?
That's right. I would evade it. I think I would evade it just because it was novelty pizza. There it is. Hey, it's a, you know, it's like 9 in the morning, leftover pizza. It's novelty pizza.
And there were two slices facing each other, so the crust was on the outside on both sides, which we named the Super Panzo.
Yeah.
Some people will call it the pizza sandwich.
Yeah.
But there's something about that that's just so much fun.
Yeah. Also, Super Panzo. Very bad Marvel superhero. I'm so glad they didn't include him in the Infinity War.
He has the power of scalding hot sauce.
Yeah, scalding hot sauce.
That's the problem with the Panzerotti. I used to love them back in the day, but you'd go to Pizzaville and you'd get them, but you'd take a bite.
Oh.
The sauce inside was like lava.
Once you punctured the Panzerotti skin, it's like, everyone, run away, because it's coming out at you like hot, molten pizza lava.
It's like when you have microwave popcorn and you open the bag, but you got to hold it at least 3 feet away from your face.
Yeah.
Because you'll scald your face otherwise. And of course, since it smells so good, you want to get right in there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Have you ever actually had the microwave popcorn injury? Like, have you ever burnt yourself trying to get in there too fast?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think everybody has.
Yeah, 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 100%.
Okay, so Mikko Rantanen, the NBA with dunks, and the three free agents, which you thought would be highly desirable in baseball, but not.
First off, Clayton Kershaw. Why don't you show up in the playoffs just once? Hey, buddy.
I want my steak, Matt.
Yeah.
I want my steak.
Yeah, with each bad performance, it's now a flank steak.
No, no.
It's now a flank steak.
Bets don't go backwards if the future proves them wrong.
Actually, you know what? I'm going the other way.
Okay.
How much fun is it to be a Colorado Avalanche fan? Because you get both ends of the stick. You get to watch your team win. Hooray! And you get to root for Ottawa to lose. Boo! Like, it's so rare. There's nothing. It might be we talked about the worst thing in sports is when you have a bad owner, or the second one, when you have a
injury prone franchise.
Yeah, player. Exactly. The other end is when by some fate, you get an incredibly high draft pick, no matter how good you are in the regular. It's like with the Celtics.
I was going to say, they have turned into the Boston Celtics via the Brooklyn Nets deal.
Yeah.
Of the NHL,
mm-hmm.
where if I'm in that division, I'm slapping my head and saying, okay, so you've got all these good young players who finally look like they're putting it together year after year.
Yeah.
It looked like it might happen. It didn't. But now it looks like it is.
Yeah.
and you're going to have a top three or four pick? What if they get freaking Jack Hughes?
I know.
What if Ottawa's the worst team? Now, they haven't been the worst so far, but don't hold your breath.
Seasons.
It's a long season.
Yeah.
What if they get Jack freaking Hughes?
First, Patrick Waugh's like, hey, guys, kidding. Do over. Like when
hit reset.
Yeah, like when George Costanza walks out and quits and then comes back in on Monday and goes, what, you thought I was serious? Patrick Waugh needs to do that. It's nuts. And now all the other opponents and fan bases that are against the Colorado Avalanche, now they get to hate Eugene Melnyk as well.
That's true. That's true, and that can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
How much time do we have left?
We have about 7 minutes left.
Oh, we're not so bad. I think we've gone through most of the topics.
Yep.
Do you got any football stuff you want to cover?
I think we've never had this. We have trades. The NFL trade deadline. You had Amari Cooper, Golden Tate now, Demaryius Thomas. You've got all these receivers, going to legitimate teams. Dallas, semi-legitimate. Eagles, legitimate. And the Houston Texans, after losing Will Fuller, going to get Demaryius Thomas.
Do you think it's because the NFL, like all the other sports, is becoming more of a window of opportunity league?
Yeah, I think they're realizing it. With Houston, it's like, well, we only have Deshaun Watson on the rookie deal for so long. Carson Wentz, still on a rookie deal. As for the Cowboys, man, they're just trying to stay relevant, So they believe in Dak Prescott. I love it. It's great that this has been happening.
Football is so weird in the sense that it's the biggest sport going, right?
Yes.
Yeah. As you've pointed out many times, by a country mile. And yet, there's almost never any news surrounding the league that anybody cares about. We complain about hockey. Oh, the players never move around, or free agency is not as interesting as it could be.
Yeah.
What's so freaking interesting about football when it comes to player movement?
Oh,
not much. The draft.
Yeah.
The draft. Right. People live and die for the draft. Mel Kiper Jr., whose hair gets blacker every year, oddly enough.
It's called the Paul McCartney.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? The Paul McCartney?
Oh, sorry. The Sir Paul McCartney.
Thank you. Sir Macca. There you go. Have you ever thought that Mel Kiper Jr. looks like Sam the Eagle from The Muppets?
Every day.
Yeah.
I wake up every morning. I look in the mirror. I say, what went wrong? And then that thought goes through my head. You talk about player movement. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Mm-hmm. Imagine in the NBA, okay, the best player in the league is on a team that constantly fails him in terms of draft, in terms of free agents.
Andrew Luck,
or even Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's a good
Aaron Rodgers never demanded out of Green Bay. He demanded an extension to stay in Green Bay. Like, imagine NBA superstar playing for some cold winter team where the only reason they're good is because he has to play above and beyond, and then they get bounced earlier, and there's no talent around him. That player would bolt in a heartbeat. But Aaron Rodgers, NFL, we don't see that with quarterbacks.
Baseball, basketball, they move.
Yeah.
Hockey, football, they
don't
stay.
They don't move.
And the other thing about football is, with the exception of the great quarterback, mm-hmm. how many players can move and change a franchise's future?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Like you mentioned Demaryius Thomas and Amari Cooper, and
that'd be nice. They could be. Yeah.
They're good players. But it's not like Aaron Rodgers. Like if Aaron Rodgers suddenly said, get me the hell out of here, or if Drew Brees had said, I want out of New Orleans, now all of a sudden you're paying attention.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady, his whole career, mm-hmm. Drew Brees, most of his career, Aaron Rodgers, his whole career, like they just stay with the same team.
Yeah.
Maybe we give hockey too hard a time when football's just as boring.
Oh, absolutely. Here's a perfect example. I don't know if the stat is still true, but Pro Football Focus examined that the Chicago Bears still are a bottom 5-8 team when it comes to pressuring the quarterback. And they brought Khalil Mack, who through the first 3 or 4 weeks looked incredible and now slowed down a little bit. Injuries are a part of it. But Khalil Mack, even he, that couldn't be sustainable. And football is the one sport. You're replaceable.
It's funny because in the first 2 or 3 starts, people are like, oh, he's defensive player of the year candidate. This guy's a franchise transforming individual.
Yeah.
And then the stats start to roll in. You go,
He's a great player, but
he's a great player, but you just can't do it by yourself.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, why don't we just cap it early?
Cap it. Well,
wait.
What?
What are we doing before? I got to ask you.
Yeah.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
I am actually going to rummage through Amy's tickle trunk of...
What?
She's got tons of costumes and stuff. So I'm good because I'm taking out my nephews for... I'm going to take them out trick-or-treating.
Okay.
So I'm gonna do that. But here's my final thought. I feel bad for the schools today. I feel bad for the seven-year-olds because... You know, we're hearing all these stories about how some schools are not letting their kids dress up, or it's pajama day instead of Halloween day, but your pajamas can't even be a skeleton. And some schools, no masks or wigs. When I was 8 years old, homemade night, like a night of the round table, I brought with me to Humber Valley Village a giant wooden sword that was made for me. I was running around the schoolyard chasing all my friends with a giant wooden sword. Oh, 1986.
Did you hurt anybody?
No. But you know what I did? Maybe I did hurt. Maybe out of laughter. So kids these days, schools these days, I just feel bad.
My daughter goes to a Catholic school and I'm watching all these like, you know, kids dressed up like the killer and Scream.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I thought, you know what? Good for us.
Yes.
Good for us to allow a little bit of fun for these kids, not to take things too seriously.
Little creativity, a little fear, and just have fun with it.
A little fear is good for you.
Yeah.
My daughter says she likes horror movies.
Mm.
We'll see.
We'll see. Bob? We'll see.
Yeah, Matthew.
Happy Halloween.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.